Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
What is up, party people? Happy Monday. It is the first Monday under the watchful eye of our newest leader, Donald J. Trump. He is the president of these here United States of America. I woke up this morning, and last time I checked, we were still spinning on our axis. Everything seems to be A-OK. We've gotten through our first weekend that included march and yells and more marches and people dressing up like vaginas and then all kinds of crazy stuff. We'll get to that in a little bit. Trump has been busy today banning overseas abortion funding, getting rid of the TPP, and let's see here. What else we got going on? Oh, yeah, federal freeze on hiring and raises and whatnot. There we go. The guy's busy. He's a busy character. He is going to try to get his entire 4 years done in the first 6 months. And then he's going to have, you know, 3.5 years to sit around and go, there's just nothing to do. Hope something happens. Hope it does. I don't know if it will, but if it does, I'm here. Speaking of the TPP, he did sign the document, and, well, here he is.
I just signed a document, very powerful document. And we're going to have trade, but we're going to have one-on-one. And if somebody misbehaves, we're going to send them a letter of termination.
Woo! Misbehaving is not good. You better not. You hope you don't get that letter of termination from Trump, because it's going to say you're fired. That's all it's going to say with the presidential seal. You're fired. Look, the TPP was confusing. You had Republicans and Democrats who were against it. People shouldn't be upset about it. Some people are. And here's the thing. You know, he said that, you know, China, you know who China is. That's China to us regular folk. But China was always getting away with something and that this would only really benefit them. Some people who were for the TPP says that, no. This is all the other Asian Rim Pacific nations, you know, that we're going to get together and have a fair trading opportunity to combat the fact that China has always got kind of this fair deal and this better deal. I don't know. I mean, it was so convoluted. It was so secret. You know, it started with Bush and went on to Obama, who pushed it. A lot of Democrats couldn't stand it. I'm interested to see, now that he's killed it, are the Democrats going to come out and say, wait a minute, we were all for that. Are we going to get contrarians here? I don't know if we will or won't. Would be funny if we did. But again, you know, I mean, you heard the secrecy of it all. Remember when we were talking about the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and they were saying, well, here's the deal. You can look at it, but you've got to leave you've got to leave all the aides upstairs so they can't, all your, you know, the senators and congressmen, they couldn't bring their people down with them. You couldn't break your phone. You could go downstairs in the basement and you could look at it, but you couldn't take a picture of it. You couldn't get a copy of it. You don't think anybody knew what was in there. And so he killed that. All right. You know, this is day one kind of thing. Then you got, you know, some other stuff he did today. I'm not going to sit here. It's the first 100 days. We're in day three, really day 2.5. Let's see what it's like. Monday's the first working days with everybody there. And this is where it's all really kicked off. And so over the next 97 days, what will happen? I do not know. All I know is he's using the executive action and executive orders to move stuff through fast and quick. And he's repealing stuff. He's doing stuff here. He's doing stuff there. He's going here. He's going there. He's bobbing. He's weaving. He's weaving and bobbing. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Speaking of what happens, you get one chance in life to make a first impression. Very rarely do you get a second chance to do any of those things. Sean Spicer took to the podium this weekend. And again today, he is he's the new spokesperson, spokeshole for the old White House. And I will say this. I'm sure he's a great guy. He's a bit high-strung. And I think that's being he is very red in the face at times. And he had his first chance to make a first impression, and it did not go over well. First, he was talking about the size of the inauguration.
This was the largest audience to ever witness an inauguration, period, both in person and around the globe. Even the New York Times printed a photograph showing that a misrepresentation of the crowd in the original tweet in their paper, which showed the full extent of the support, depth, and crowd and intensity that existed. These attempts to lessen the enthusiasm of the inauguration are shameful and wrong.
Okay, first, can I just say this? I could care less about the size of the crowd. I don't care if one person was in there. I care about what the person does that is becoming president. If Chief Justice Roberts and Trump are the only two people there, I care about what he does over the next 4 years, not what happened crowd-wise. How many people were there? To me, that means absolutely nothing. It means zero. Did some places spin it like nobody showed up? Oh, look at the size of it. Yes. Yes, you know. Was it as big as the inauguration of all time in the history of mankind? No. And quite frankly, I don't even think – I think if you go back and you look at the days of yore in the black and white days, Obama's wasn't the biggest of all time. You had times when you had, you know, near a million people show up for these things. Okay, there were nothing else going on. So, you know, you got – this is your big thing, right? Like every 4 years you make the – because by the time you got home – it was time for you to pack and then get back in the wagon and head back out again to where you came from. So, look, it is what it is. I don't care. But it was just the defiance. No, this is the biggest in the history of mankind. And now he's trying to justify the numbers, which, again, it doesn't matter.
We know that from the platform where the president was sworn into 4th Street holds about 250,000 people. From 4th Street to the media tent is about another 220,000. And from the media tent to the Washington Monument, another 250,000 people. All of this space was full when the president took the oath of office. We know that 420,000 people used the D.C. Metro public transit yesterday, which actually compares to 317,000 that used it for President Obama's last inaugural. This was the largest audience to ever witness an inauguration, period.
Who the hell cares? It means nothing. And he's really, look, I'm sure he's a great guy, but he is more than just highly strung. He's uber highly strung. He reminds me of this guy named Chris Farley, who at one time lived down by the river.
And I live in a van down by the river.
Yeah. He is, it's too much. Calm down. He just had another one of those press conferences, and he's turning red, which is great because I'm waiting for him to come over the podium. I'm waiting for him to break the podium in half, you know, just smash it. You guys got a problem. I told you, I don't want to do this, all right? I will fight each and every one of you right now outside. Like, that's what I'm waiting for. It's all a bit much. Take a deep breath. Let's relax a little bit. It's only day two of you being up here on stage. You got another probably 2 years before that, you know, that sell-by date goes by, and you're like, I got to get out of here. But you're going to drop dead, and we don't want that, Sean. It's a new day. It's a new gig. Breathe. Breathe. He is turning. He's like, Gar, I'm going to tell you guys. Hope you guys had a good weekend. A lot of stuff to talk about today. I will say I'm super excited about the Patriots and the Falcons. In fact, I just told producer Phil, more money was placed on the Browns to win the Super Bowl than the Falcons, yet the Falcons are in the Super Bowl against the Patriots, who always seem to be there every other year. A chance for history for Brady. But we've got the greatest audio from the game after the game, if you will. The greatest audio. Phil sent it to me, and it is absolutely amazing. We've got that. We're going to talk about the protesters. We're going to talk about Facebook and a new study that came out it shouldn't be eye-opening if you listen to the Chad Benson Show, but for those of you who are new to the Chad Benson Show, we will enlighten you about some of the stuff inside of that. Numbers you need to know, 323-538-2423. That there be the text line. You can call the program, simple and easy, 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. At Chad Benson Show is your Twitter, and you can also check us out on Facebook, book The Chad Benson Show, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N. We got a poll up right now about the Super Bowl. Who do you think will win the Super Bowl? Right now, 55% of you believe the Atlanta Falcons will be Super Bowl champions. I don't know if I believe that, but I'm not going to give you my pick just yet. Marching this weekend, they were everywhere. They had pretty pink hats on, some dressed like vaginas. Oh, kids, why did they march? It's the Chad Benson Show.
Yo, DJ, drop that beat, partner.
Oh, dear God, no.
Do you have any questions?
You're listening to The Chad Benson Show.
Breaking news. Senate committee approves Rex Tillerson for Secretary of State. Final Senate vote expected next week. That should be kind of a done deal. I think if they're going to take anybody out, I think if they're going to take any of his cabinet appointees out, it's going to be Betsy DeVos, the lady that's going to be the education secretary. I think she is the one that is, for all intents and purposes, in the fire of it all. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But that's breaking news. Rex Tillerson, a guy you've never met, nor know who are, nor who care anything about, potentially could be our Secretary of State. So what's that mean to you? Nothing. Speaking of meaning to you, this weekend, lots of pink hats, lots of people dressed like Verjay's. Lots of that. I saw a lot of that. I saw a lot of Verjay outfits. Guys dressed like that too. Guys dressed like a lot of Verjay outfits. A lot of people out there doing their protesting and complaining. And as I watched it, right, first of all, I was taken back about the greatness of who we are as Americans, right? Who we are as Americans. This is amazing. Because the day before, we had the 45th president sworn in, who nobody seems to like, apparently, but a very few. The day after, we have God knows how many, probably a million, million and a half people nationwide marching, depending on, you know, I don't know. You know, I don't know how many people were in D.C., 300,000, 200,000, 500,000. Again, those numbers are all out there. But it was massive. It was a huge, huge display. My issue with it is the issue is, what is it for? I'm curious. I'd like to know. It's not because I'm being rude. I'd like to know. Everything is about something, right? Every movement is about something. But many of times these movements don't have any kind of real structure. The Tea Party worked because the Tea Party was pretty narrow in its thinking, and it had one thing that it wanted to do, right? So it wasn't 12 things. It wasn't all things to all people. It was what it was. I don't know what a lot of this was. What I do know was some of it was nasty, some of it was ugly, but by and large, most of it was peaceful. We've got some of the funny stuff in there. We do. In fact, we're going to play one of Madge, right? Did I say Madge? Madonna, Madge. She hates that, apparently. I did not know that, so we'll call her that. That's like ISIS when you call them Dash or Daesh or whatever it is. They get all mad. It's the same thing with her. But here is some Madonna from the other day.
Yes, I'm angry.
Oh, no shocker.
Yes, I am outraged. Yes, I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
All right, that's you don't do that. That's not cool. First of all, she's going to get a knock on the door sooner rather than later. Secondly, come on. Get your head out of your ass, Madge. Please, come on. By the way, too, as Phil pointed out, she does not have a fake British accent anymore. How about that one? All right, then. Madge, because she's here in America, and she's talking about America, VJJ, is about American president, so she's got to skip that. If she's talking about Theresa May, you don't know who she is, read a book. But if not, she is the prime minister of Great Britain. She, she could be over there going, yes, Theresa May bugs me. But here she did this. One thing I was surprised about is Scarlett Johansson was very open. She said when she was 15, she had to use Planned Parenthood. But she did say this, and to me, I think this is where you're going to get more. This is where I find the most common ground, and it's what I've been saying all along. You got to stop attacking the people that support Trump, and you got to stop attacking Trump before he's done anything. Take a listen to Scarlett.
President Trump, I did not vote for you. That said, I respect that you are our president-elect, and I want to be able to support you. But first, I ask that you support me. Support my sister. Support my mother. Support my best friend and all of our girlfriends. Support the men and women here today that are anxiously awaiting to see how your next moves may drastically affect their lives.
And I thought that was very real. She wants the support. I think we all do. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of Republicans out there that are nervous about Trump. There's a lot of people that are. Even people who support Trump are nervous to see what he's going to do. He's my president, and he will be for these next 4 years, for however long he's going to be president. 8 years, 6 years, God only knows with him, right? He will be my president, and I will want him to succeed the entire time. This weekend, I saw a lot of people who are worried and scared and angry. Remember what fear does. I mean, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself, because the truth is they probably don't know. Some of it's because he's a misogynistic pig. Others is the way they look at him. Others, it's because he is going to take away women's rights. Others, it's because he's an Islamophobic, I saw. Others, because it's the LGBT. Others, because it's all of this stuff wrapped into whatever, into this movement of, but it's just women. But it's a women's march, but everybody can come. Get a message, get a voice. But get the message on par, right? Get it on point. Is it about equality of pay? Is it about, you know, and the silliness of it all? And by the way, out there, great if you marched. Use your voice, absolutely. But you know what I saw a lot of? It's the same thing I get from the ladies come on here. When they get attacked, very, very rarely is it anybody that's white. It's mostly African-Americans who can't stand Diamond and Silk. And they say horrible things about them. I will tell you this. I saw a lot of women this weekend who posted things about, hey, you know what? I respect your right to do this, but I don't agree with you. I think many of you, you know, aren't big fans of men, and they, you know, a lot of stuff in there. And just because I don't go doesn't mean I'm less of a woman. Just because I believe in pro-life doesn't mean I'm less of a woman. And I saw a lot of that. And you know what I saw? I saw a lot of women eating their own on National Pi Day. I saw a lot of women just attacking their own. And I thought to myself, this is what happens in a situation like this. You can't, heaven forbid, you have a diversity of ideas. Because a woman thinks it's okay, like, you know what? Says, you know what? I'd like to stay home. I'd like to take care of the child. All of a sudden, that woman is what? Is nothing? She's less of a woman? I scratched my head. I saw too much of that. I saw way too much of that. Bunch of crap. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter, CHADBENSON. Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
That's me, kids and kittens. How are you, wherever you are? It's definitely rainy here, Pooh Bear. I don't know where you are, but it's been raining quite nicely. President Obama landed here on Friday after a couple failed attempts to get to Palm Springs due to the weather, and it is not cleared up. I saw that old Michelle has bounced off to Virgin Islands? British Virgin Islands. So, on a Virgin Galactic jet. Don't know if Richard Branson's there, going to enjoy herself. Former president stayed back here. I don't know what he's going to do. Just chill, I guess. Hopefully golf, not any time in the near future. I'll tell you that one right now, kid. Tell you that one right there now. I will. Facebook. Hey, if you have not liked my Facebook, go there. Chad Benson Show, CHADBENSON. I love social media to a certain extent, and it's great. Let's be real. Social media is an amazing thing. It's an incredible thing. And at other times, it is an awful thing. It is. It's amazing to see the amount of reach that you can get. It's an amazing thing to see the good that can come out of it, but very rarely is the good ever really as good as we think it should be, because too often than not, we screw that thing up. Don't we, kids? Ah, we mess that thing up. New study out, and this was a very interesting study done by real people, kids, not a fake group of people, the National Academy of Sciences. And they actually did something that I said has been going on for a long time. And remember, when I talk about stuff, I'm about diversity of thought, right? If your ideas are different than mine, that's great. Maybe your ideas are, you know, You have different ideas because of different experiences. Maybe your numbers don't jive with my numbers. Whatever it is that we talk about, I'd love to see that, right? Because I'm open enough to realize I don't know everything. And you'll hear a lot of other radio shows pontificate about how they're the greatest of all time, how they're better Americans than everybody else, et cetera, et cetera. I don't buy into that crap. I won't buy into that crap. It's not who I am. All right? I am American, and I don't know everything, but I try to learn as much as possible. And the more that you find out in life, usually the less you realize you actually know. And one thing's for sure I know is not knowing everything, I need to have an open mind, because the more that my mind is open, the more I can learn stuff. And this new studies they did on about Facebook, it's what I've been saying is it's all narrow-minded. Diversity isn't really diverse, and it goes to both sides of the aisle. All right? Look, some of that's not just, it's not just about, say, for instance, just diversity on Facebook, or just diversity about this, or just diversity about that. What it's about in a lot of ways is who we are as people, right? We want to pick and choose everything from how we consume news to our entertainment, and we want it our way. And social media, while it's an amazing thing and it's given us an opportunity to connect worldwide with people and do a lot of different things, the facts remain that in many different ways, it has also narrowed our view. Because as we become more and more staunch, whatever we are, staunch Democrats, staunch Republicans, staunch conservatives, staunch progressives and liberals, whatever it is that we are, we slowly but surely weed out the people that don't really agree with us. And in return, we find people that do. And then we get inside that vacuum, that bubble where we're sanitizing ourselves from other viewpoints, right? And that's what this found, that essentially we like our news our way. Was that burger? Was it Big Mac? Was it a Big Mac? Do you want your Big Mac your way?
Burger King.
Burger King. That's right. Burger King. That's exactly what it is. You want your news your way. And anybody who comes along who has a different viewpoint, it is shocking. And that's where the attacks come from. And the left does it, and the right does it. And that's where you get fake news. And fake news a lot of times isn't fake news 100%. A lot of times fake news is half news. It's partial truth. It's you gave me the numbers, but you didn't give me all the numbers. You told me that Obama's created the most jobs in the history, third most jobs in the history of all presidents. But what you didn't tell me is most of those jobs are $8 an hour jobs. So while there's a perfect example where Democrats will say he's created all X amount of jobs before he left office. And Republicans will say, well, those jobs, yes, he did, but they're only $8 an hour jobs. You look and you say, both of you guys have partial truth, but you're so sold out for one another. And this is what we do. This is why when you see people fight on Facebook, when you see people fight on Twitter, when you see people fight on social media, because we have so taken away any chance of having a different thought than anybody else. Any chance. We're excluding ourselves. And what we're doing is we're narrowing our viewpoints to a certain few. Diversity is thought of mind. I tell you that 100 times a week. Try to beam that in. I know that I'm doing something right because I know that I piss both sides of the aisle off. I did an interview earlier today with a publication, and Monday there's an article coming out, and a lot of it was talking about Trump and where does talk radio go from here, et cetera, et cetera. And I was saying, look, you know what? Talk radio is evolving, and a lot of people that have come to talk radio and this explosion of talk radio over the last 12 to 16 months has been because you've got a guy like Trump that's become president of the United States, but these people are coming over here, and normally talk radio was the last bastion for hardcore conservatives to listen to like-minded individuals talk about stuff. But you've got a lot of people now that have come to it are like, well, this is interesting, but I'm not all really into just this, and I'm not really into the some of the stuff that you hear in it, and it's about diversity. You know, diversity is a great thing, and when it comes from the top of the mind down, all right? That's the thing. When you're on Facebook, I guarantee you most of you probably have a bunch. You have one or two friends that maybe your friends younger and a couple other friends who are acquaintances, some acquaintances and stuff that are maybe lean a little right or left further than you do. All right? An opposite of you. But that's okay. They don't get really involved in stuff. But by and large, it's the same thing over and over again. Right? You know? Oh, my God. You posted that? I posted that. You posted that? I posted that. We should like each other's posts. It's the same thing. We're thinking the same thing. Oh, my God. This is great. Yes, you have trolls out there that troll people and they want to fight. But, you know, that's people who are just contrarian, right? They're the kind of people you go outside and you say, God, it's raining. And they're like, ah, it's sunny as can be. That's a different thing. We have so now gotten to the point where we've narrowed our friends and we've narrowed our thought process. And that's what we shouldn't do. We need to have a diverse thoughts and ideas in life. And we need to get there again. We used to have it. We didn't agree with each other. We maybe had some terse words and some conversations that got a little bit heated, but not to the point that we do now. Not to the point where we have sold each other out. We only want things our way, right? Netflix. Like, that's it. You want it your way. I want to watch this show, and I'm going to watch it when I want to watch it. That's why I got DVR. That's why I got this. Why? Because I want to watch the show when I want to watch it. I want you to tell me when I can watch it. I mean, we used to be, yeah, I remember when I was a kid growing up, I had friends who were very, very liberal and friends who were very conservative. My mother was a pretty conservative woman, and her best friend is a very liberal woman, like uber liberal. And they talk very little politics in life, but you know what? Life, they talked about everything else, and they shared 1,000 things in common. And we forget that we share these things in common because we have so cut each other off for this massive blanket. This massive, huge, giant net that we have now, the internet and the opportunity to talk to people, to have diversity of thought, to have open ideas, to talk about things, to find out why do you feel this way? Why? We just don't do that anymore. We just don't. We don't at all. And this thing's right. This study was right. And I've said that. I've tried to say that over and over again. It's like we want things our way. People watch Fox because Fox validates who they are and what they believe. People watch MSNBC and CNN because it validates who they are and what they believe. Never thinking maybe the other side has a point. Maybe the other side has something to their story. Maybe I should do a little checking. Maybe there's a way for me to take a peek and see if maybe, just maybe, that there's a competing article or competing facts against this where, you know, maybe, yes, maybe I'm right, but I'm not as right as I think I am. Or maybe you'll find out, maybe I'm wrong. But because it's politics, and because politics now has become all about reaction, and it's all about emotion, you cannot, you don't ever want to hear a different thing. You want to be validated over and over again. Doesn't matter what it is. I want to be validated. That's why I say, if you got friends that are liberals, if you got friends that are conservatives, and if you go the other way, talk to them. I don't know what it is anymore that we can't have a conversation in this country about politics without fighting. Like, what are people afraid of? Well, I know what they're afraid of. They're afraid they're going to be wrong. They're afraid they're going to be wrong. People will fight to the death to find out, to make sure they're not wrong. That's an old great saying, I'd rather be right or would you rather be rich? For a lot of people out there, they'd rather be right. I'll take rich every day of the week. Call me wrong, but I'm going to the bank. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson, chad@chadbensonshow.com. You can text the show, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Love getting text messages, love getting phone calls as well. Again, I get a lot of phone calls from people on the opposite end of the aisle, and I want to hear what they have to say. I want to. To me, I find it to be, it's more enlightening if we have a different point of view about stuff. And I think it's good. It's not about arguing. It's about having a discussion. We've lost the art of discussion in this country. That's something we should bring back. You should literally, you know, debate class is one of those things where that should be mandatory now. And it shouldn't be called debate. It should be called discussion. The art of discussion. Let's bring that back. Call the program, 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. They are in the Super Bowl. Two teams are standing. Two teams are left. We got the South and we got the Northeast and Colorado. It's going to be very exciting. One of the teams, well, you know, I have a man crush on one of the players. And the other team, man, they are the Dirty Birds again, and they're rising like a phoenix, but they're called the Falcon. We will talk about them, their road there, And we've got the greatest audio from an owner of an NFL team as he accepted the trophy the other last night. And it's just, it's priceless.
How the hell does that happen?
That just might be the dumbest idea I've ever heard, ever.
This is the Chad Benson Show.
It is set. There is no more but these two left to play thine football game. The Gladiators will take to the field 13 days from today. Super Bowl 51 in Houston, Texas, NRG Stadium. The Falcons making their first appearance, I think, since what, Dan Reeves was their coach, 98, 96? Can't even remember. I think they lost that time to Elway. And then you go and you look at who's looking across at them on Super Bowl Sunday, and it's a team that is, I think it's fair to say they're a dynasty. I think it's fair to say that the New England Patriots are a dynasty in the NFL, period. I mean, we can pretend that they're not, you know, because we think of dynasties, teams that won 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, you know, championships in a row. But it's so hard to do that in this day and age because there's caps and there's salary caps and then there's players moving around all the time. And the nucleus of this team is ever present. Bob Kraft, the owner, Bill Belichick, and of course, you know, you've got this, you know, great guy named Tom Brady who just is amazing. And it was great. I mean, you look, the NFL, while they probably aren't thrilled by the way the games have gone, and, you know, this year has been a very tough year on them as far as viewership goes, down more than just a little bit across the board, they're still getting probably the two best teams. And you've got a great storyline. The Falcons have never won anything. 50 years, they've never won anything. You've got the Patriots. Tom Brady, not only going for his fifth Super Bowl title, he's also on his revenge tour from being suspended for 4 games. And that, to me, is that there's the interesting thing right there. You thought Deflategate was done 2 years ago. It's back with a plum. It's not going anywhere. Last night, the Falcons laid waste to Green Bay. It wasn't even close. Green Bay ran out of players. I told producer Phil, we were at the point where if I was there, they might have suited me up. It's that they were running out of players. And on the other side, you've got the Patriots who really just – I was reading this. This is crazy, Phil. In the last 6 games against the Pittsburgh Steelers, Tom Brady's 19 touchdowns, no interceptions.
That's incredible.
And he and Bill Belichick finds these guys that literally off the – they get them off the scrap heap. It's like you were a backup long snapper – for the Buffalo Bills, and you were on the reserves, and you weren't even playing. You were on the practice squad. I think you can kind of run, so I'm gonna make you a tight end. And this guy over here, you were a fullback in college, and you've been cut by every team. But you know what? What's great about you? I think I make you linebacker. And boom, and that's what he does, and he plugs them in, and the way they go. Last night they won. They got by Pittsburgh, and they accepted the trophy. And when you accept the trophy for winning the AFC Championship game, just like the NFC, you get, you know, Arthur Blank and Bob Kraft. Those are the two owners. Bob Kraft, Robert Kraft, took to the stage with Jim Nantz to celebrate the victory. And I want to say he had a few pops, if you will.
What would you like to say about this team?
For a number of reasons, all of you in the stadium understand how big this win was. But we have to go to Houston and win one.
Robert, Jonathan, congratulations.
I will say the most, watching that, if you watch it and you've got it, we'll post it. Just watch the reaction from Bill Belichick, the coach, because producer Phil, did he just look like, what the hell is wrong with you?
It's kind of like the Chris Christie pose behind Trump.
Yeah, it was absolutely just like, oh, wow. Well, Bob's had a few here. All right. I mean, but think about this, man. You're a billionaire. Your team's going back to the Super Bowl for the 7th time in your reign as owner. You know what's great about this is what I found out last night watching this. Bob Kraft bought the team, and he's only been without Bill Belichick for 80 days. He appointed him like 80, 84 days after that. Like, that's, you know, and like, what a duo, right? And then you got, you know, next thing you know, boom, here comes Brady. But watching them last night. It was just, he was, I am so happy to be champion. And here's, somebody take a trophy. Who wants to see me naked? This was waiting for. I was waiting for that. Fantastic. So that'll be good. We'll be talking more about the Super Bowl as the heads in. Box office this weekend. Man, M. Night Shyamalan. Remember him? He was washed up. He sucked. He was horrible. Then he got that low-budget movie, The Visit, last year, and it became a big hit. Somebody said, well, we'll give him another chance. And lo and behold, he's delivered again, crushing expectations. His movie Split this weekend took $40 million in. Triple X3, The Return of Xander Cage, took in $20 million. Hidden Figures, solid at $15 million. Sing, still holding strong. Another nine, La La Land, Rogue One. By the way, the new Star Wars movie is called The Last Jedi. They announced that today. Monster Truck 7, Patriots Day, Sleepless, The Bye-Bye Man at 10. And tomorrow, we'll talk about the Oscars because it's tomorrow, right? They're announcing it in the morning. Is this what we're getting? I'm not quite sure. Some people say it's Thursday, but I think it's tomorrow morning. We'll find out what the Oscars going to be. And once again, I don't think I'm being nominated for anything, what with me not actually making a movie. So, but you never know. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter. CHADB, and so we're going to win one more! This is Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.